Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing in Seeing Talk Radio. We'd like to take a moment and thank our engineer, Jeff Bilodeau. Our music is by Derek Audette. Our interns, Sarah, Andrew, Leah, Deidre, and Chrissy. And of course, our director of marketing, Katie Jansen. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. We just wrapped up with Carlos Michon, founder and CEO of Strata Equity Group. Great story. Real estate's really, there's a lot of ways you can make it go right for yourself. Well, some ways to screw it up too, I guess. But we're going to shift gears a little bit, talk biotech. Arcturus Therapeutics President CEO Joe Payne is with us. Joe, welcome.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be with you.
Glad you could be in today. Tell us a little bit about Arcturus. And by the way, you have a co-founder, Dr. Pad Chivukula, right?
Did I
get it right?
Yeah, Pad is a co-founder of the company. Absolutely.
And tell us a little bit about Arcturus and what you do.
Arcturus Therapeutics is in the world of genetic medicines. You guys, have you heard of Mark Cuban?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, I think everyone here knows who Mark Cuban is. Guy on Shark Tank, multi-billionaire extraordinaire. He's expressed the opinion many, many times that artificial intelligence is going to be this huge, massive market of the future. And although I'm a big Mark Cuban fan, I disagree with him. I think the most attractive market for the next future decades is genetic medicines. Because what's been happening is the genomics revolution has been ongoing. Every single person in this room is getting their genes analyzed, trying to figure out what's wrong with us, why we're messed up, you know, and is it mom or dad's fault, right? So this kind of stuff we're trying to figure out.
I just blame both.
Yeah. Most of us do. But in that process, we're learning what genes we need to fix. And this is creating this multi-trillion dollar, really exciting market. And the ability to control those genes is the key. And that is with RNA. Now, most people on the show and in this room understand what DNA is. But RNA is the sister of DNA. And these RNA molecules control gene expression. And that's the key or the future of genetic medicine is the ability to decrease or increase, delete or edit these genes. And we're going to be doing that through RNA.
Interesting. 15 years ago, we were talking about convergence of cell phones becoming televisions and radios and typewriters, and here we are with it. We're talking now about custom, bespoke medication for individuals based on their gene makeup. Correct?
Yeah.
And that's the ideal solution. You walk in. Whatever scans you and produces the exact medication that you need.
Yeah, especially in the field of cancer, right? Everybody's cancer is unique to them. And that's why it's a big, huge challenge for the pharmaceutical industry. They have these multi-billion dollar drugs that only modify a small percentage of the population by only a few months because historically the pharmaceutical industry is trying to find one drug to hit a bunch of people with the same cancer, and it's just not an ideal solution. It is to understand their genes of their healthy tissue, compare it to the genes of their cancer tissue, and leverage that difference and provide a therapeutic that targets the specific cancer in that case. But it applies to all types of drugs right now.
So is this what you're doing at Arcturus?
We're doing a lot of stuff at Arcturus. It's very exciting. We're an RNA medicines company, and we have programs. There's different types of RNA, though. I mentioned in the onset here that we can use RNA to control our genes. So if you want to decrease a particular gene, a naughty one that's making too much protein, you want to turn it off like a faucet, you use what's called siRNA. That's small interfering RNA. If there's a type of disease that's where it's a missing gene or a weak gene, it's not working very well, we want to turn up the faucet, we use an RNA molecule called messenger RNA. And then likewise,
that's the one I need to improve my gene for jokes.
Are you just identifying these?
We need a messenger RNA for Bob's jokes. Yeah.
Are you just identifying these and then using them in a targeted way? Or are you actually creating these RNAs somehow in a lab?
Yeah, we're creating these in the lab right here in San Diego.
How does that process look? How does somebody go about creating an RNA?
Well, we need to identify a target of interest where it's important that we, there's so many genes and there's so many diseases related to our genes. So at Arcturus, we're focused on the most serious diseases out there, usually involving our kids. So we're focused internally on pediatric rare genetic disorders where we can go in with a particular therapeutic that will make a transformational impact into those children. And that's what we're focusing on first. And so how we select those is, you know, we take everything into consideration where, you know, there's unmet medical need, there's a commercial viability, there's an opportunity there, and we believe that our technologies will be ideally suited for that particular disease.
Joe Payne is here, President and CEO, Arcturus Therapeutics. You just kind of described, I think, orphan diseases, right?
Somewhat. Yeah, there's rare genetic diseases, correct?
Which don't have millions and millions of people that are infected with it. It's a smaller group, correct?
Yeah.
So it doesn't get a lot of attention from the big pharma, big drug companies. Is that because there's no monetary payback and they need X back on the kinds of drugs they do because they're so big?
Yeah, like at Arcturus, we have a relationship. We have a collaboration with J&J for hepatitis B.
J&J is pretty good sized.
Yeah, that's the large number one pharmaceutical company in the world. And we're going after the number one disease in the world. 350 million patients suffer from hepatitis B.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
wow.
Number one.
350 million.
Yeah, and they selected this small company in San Diego to partner with to go after this disease. But that's a disease that can move the needle for J&J. But we have rare disease collaborations with one is a company called Ultragenyx based in San Francisco. They're a fantastic world leader in rare diseases. But you're right, they're 100th the size of J&J. But it's still a multi-billion dollar potential area and an exciting space for a small company like us.
So because of your size, you can take on a project where the revenue isn't going to necessarily be $1 billion for a drug, right?
That's correct.
So yeah. you can pick and choose among some others. How much of the other factors besides the payback on the drug that you might discover for an orphan disease, does it have an effect on you as to what kind of effect it has on the patients? Like if it's affecting children, does that have more weight for you personally than maybe adults? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I 100% understand what you're saying. When I started this process of being a scientist, period, and then being an entrepreneur, setting up Arcturus 5 years ago, my primary motivation was the patient, but that's shifted in recent years because I've had the opportunity to meet their parents.
Oh, wow.
And we can maybe touch on that.
Joe Payne is with us, President, CEO, Chairman, Arcturus Therapeutics. We're talking about orphan diseases and how hopefully companies like Arcturus are going to get them fixed. You're listening to Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't go anywhere, folks. We're going to be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Be sure and get a podcast of today's show and, of course, our past shows at www.ESPN1700.com. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
Welcome back to ESPN 1700, broadcasting from the ESET studios. Thanks for tuning us in. We're talking with Joe Payne. He is at the helm of a company called Arcturus Therapeutics. They are in the biotech world, and Joe, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
We're talking about your focus at Arcturus on the smaller, or I guess the non-blockbuster drugs. You are looking for other avenues for revenue for your company besides going after the really big ones that everybody seems to want to do.
Yeah, that's correct. Like internally, now we have big scale partnerships with very large companies as well. So we have a significant part of our business that's focused on our collaborations. We have a hepatitis B deal with J&J, and we have a NASH deal, which is the number one liver disease with Takeda, and that's the number one Japanese pharma company.
You said earlier that the kids were important to you, but what you were noticing now was the parents, and that had some deciding factor in what you were doing.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure we finished up on that, and I wanted to hear the rest of that.
No, absolutely. So, like I mentioned, when you start this process as a scientist and choose this as a career, you're motivated by the patient. You want to just create a drug, discover a drug that helps these kids. But as I got to know the children, these patients suffering from these diseases, you also meet their parents. And how now my whole mindset has changed. I'd say my key motivation is to address the needs of these parents. Because if you can imagine, like one of our diseases that we're going after is called OTC deficiency. And you and I have ammonia in our blood, and we get rid of it every day when we go to the bathroom. But unfortunately, there's these kids out there that don't have the ability to clear this ammonia from their blood. And this is a huge, huge issue. The ammonia levels rise, they cross the blood-brain barrier, and they start to destroy the brain. Now, that's the background. Now I want you to be a parent of this child who is writhing in pain, and you cannot stop it. And you drive this child who ate the wrong sandwich, is in absolutely, cannot resolve this pain, drives to the hospital, and there's no pain medication that can stop it. They need to induce a coma, put the patient unconscious in order to stop the pain. And how traumatic that is for not only the patient, of course, but the parents. So when I talk to the patients, they're like, oh, I don't ever want that to happen again. But when I talk to the parents, they're like, I never, ever want to go through that experience again. And so they're looking to us to try to find a solution for that very serious problem called OTC deficiency.
Puts a little different twist on the pure science, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're very motivated, not only financially, because we got these fantastic deals and we're excited about the commercial potential of Arcturus, but I think we've selected diseases that are very serious and rare and can impact real kids in a real way. And it's very motivating for sure.
You started your company with $50,000 in somebody's pocket to set things up. And now you have, $2 billion of potential? They're kind of like the fund control. You get paid as you get, what's the word I'm looking for?
Sure. No, they're just collaborations where we've signed a couple billion dollars worth of deals with, significant organizations, but we have milestones
milestones. That's what I was looking for.
So we hit these milestones and subsequent royalties and commercial, elements to this as well. So, we're excited.
And how long did it take you to go from the 50 grand when you open up the door to having a couple of $1 billion of potential revenue? I know it's potential.
It took about 2.5 years. And the reason...
You make it sound like that was a long time.
No. It's a very short time for biotech.
But it is.
The reason we got so much attraction, though, is because of our technology. Like, we've been talking about Arcturus being an RNA medicines company.
Right.
But if I inject RNA into Bob right now, his blood destroys it in seconds. It's a completely useless drug. So Pat and I, the co-founder and I, we were scientists several years ago, and we thought we'd be entrepreneurial and set up Arcturus. And after we started the company, we wanted to deal with this issue of delivery. How do we get this RNA molecule to where it needs to be without falling apart in the blood? And we discovered LUNAR. Now, LUNAR is the delivery technology that commanded the attention from Big Pharma for all these deals and subsequent deals to come. So the ability to safely and effectively transport these RNA RNA molecules to the cell of interest and allow them to enter the cell and release the payload
now
and get that drug where it needs to be.
LUNAR.
Yep.
LUNAR. Yep. Is that your product?
Yeah, that's Pat and I's discovery from in 2013.
You've got a patent on it, right?
That's correct. We have about 80 of these patents.
But I think you're... It sounds like you're just saying, we just discovered this amazing thing. And that's a lot, though, right?
It's a huge deal. In September of 2013, Pat called me at a Sunday morning. It was 7 a.m. To wake me up. And I thought something serious had happened, but he said, check your data. And I went to the email, and it was then I knew, this was about 4 years ago, that we had something truly exciting, that millions and millions of people are going to benefit from this technology. The ability to get RNA to where it needs to be safely, effectively, and now we can create this new field of genetic medicines.
So, Is this like a new type of capsule on a pill that people are taking? What is this delivery method that's so incredible?
I want to, you know, RNA is a very, very tiny molecule.
I'm picturing little teeny, tiny,
tiny, tiny little, tiny little, little nanoparticles.
Yeah. You beam it into the bloodstream, I'm thinking, right? Like Star Trek.
It does almost look like science fiction. Anybody that can go to our website, ArcturusRx.com, and we click on a video and you can see the Discovery Channel.
Did somebody put together an illustrated cartoony thing that I would understand?
Yeah,
cool.
Fantastic.
We'll get it. You know, just one more, maybe not just one more. The Discovery itself, how long did you guys work on that solution, and did you know you were going to find the solution you did? Was there a hypothesis that says, if we do this, we believe we will be able to get RNA to somebody else's?
Yeah, the key issue is safety. We can get this RNA to where it needs to be in an unsafe manner. And the idea that we had that we could have a biocompatible, biodegradable, just safely gets degraded and cleared from the body and not sticks or accumulates in the body over multiple injections. This concept is what we were testing, and we were thrilled when we saw the results about 4 years ago, and it's been a roller coaster ever since.
From the time you started down the path to hypothesize there was a solution till the time you had a solution, was that the 2.5 year?
No, I would say the idea was conceived in March of 2013, and the first time we saw it work in mice was September. And then subsequently we saw it. And
so is this like the one hit wonders, people that sang songs and they made it to one in that. So is this a one hit wonder kind of thing for your, or is this something that you can duplicate because you're just that good?
More like Apple. We have Lunar 2.0, 3.0, and I'd love to talk more about it.
We will hold the thought for just a second. Joe Payne is with us, President, CEO, Chairman, Arcturus Therapeutics. This is Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't you go anywhere, folks. We're going to be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Tomorrow, in studio, our guest will be Eric Oxenberg with Coincident Ideas. And Whitney Scala, a local and very accomplished real estate attorney. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. We're so glad you're with us today. Welcome back to the ESPN 1700 studios.
The ESET studios.
Yeah. Why didn't that word come out? Broadcasting from the ESET studios. I need to train my mouth just a little better on that one. Let's get back to our guest. Joe Payne is with us. Arcturus is the company, Arcturus Therapeutics. We were talking about your really cool invention, which is something that allows the RNA molecule to be delivered to the right spot, I'm guessing. Yeah. Is that a simple way to explain it?
Yeah, it's a simple way to explain a very complex and beautiful, sophisticated delivery system. But yeah, it's a mixture of entities that come together as a nanoparticle, and inside this nanoparticle is the RNA medicine. And it serves a bunch of purposes. So when you inject this into your bloodstream, it prevents the blood from attacking the RNA, which is a good thing. So the RNA gets to where it needs to go. But then you have this nanoparticle that sticks to the right cells. It doesn't stick to the wrong cells. And then it transfects, means it enters the cell. And then it needs to release the payload. And then all of this needs to be done safely. You do not want a delivery system that's toxic or accumulates over multiple injections or is sticky or just have any issues there, cause an immune response or anything.
You know, I always wonder what people like you think of when you go to a buffet and you see food laid out. I mean, do you look at the microbiology of it all and the little teeny tiny things that are happening inside there that nobody else would even notice?
No, definitely there's something about being a chemist in general. You look at life in a different way. At a different level.
I'm still befuddled why water expands when it gets cold. I will never, ever, ever understand why that is that way. It shouldn't, right?
That's right.
Yep, but it does.
It does.
So you have a lot of different projects going right now.
That's
Anything
true.
Anything look particularly on the verge, exciting, where that you can talk about at this point in time?
Well, we're building a diverse, exciting, and substantial preclinical pipeline, meaning it has not been in humans yet. So we have 10 programs that we're going to be building by the end of this year. is what we're estimating. But the beautiful thing is they're going to be all funded. So all of these will get into humans, and we're excited about to see what is going to happen. Because we've seen so many exciting results in all the preclinical models. All the mice are getting saved, the primates are getting helped, and now we have to see the...
So you're actually seeing real-life results in the animals from the work that you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Like, if the results that we see in mice and primates are replicated in humans, this is not going to be a small side story at one of the 450 biotech companies in San Diego. This is going to be huge.
So, and I've heard we're about, 95 to 99% similar as far as our DNA structure to other mammals.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you able to guess then how effective these medicines are going to be with any sort of accuracy? Or is it still, once it goes into humans, it's ground zero again? You're just kind of fingers crossed that this is going to work.
No, it's a great question. And that's one of the attractive elements of RNA, because it's designed with that purpose in mind. It's designed, with known human biology to be known to work in the human being. The key is always delivery. And the fact that we've seen successful delivery in monkeys and primates, hundreds of these monkeys, that the likelihood of this succeeding in humans is high. We're just crossing our fingers that we're right.
So even if somebody found something that could fix DNA, getting it there is the problem. Know something is going to, so it's getting it there safely. That's the issue these days.
For those that are in the car right now in the biotech field, they know that there's dozens and dozens of these RNA companies that have all this exciting technology, the ability to control our gene expression up, down, sidewards, edit, delete genes, but they cannot deliver it effectively and safely. And that's where we become a central piece in the story of genetic medicine. We're going to play a role in not just down or decreasing or increasing genetic expression, but also editing and deleting genes. And there's horrific genetic disorders where it would be beautiful if you could just go in and delete the gene.
That's
cure
causing
the patient.
Is that like theoretically possible to do?
Not just theoretical. We've seen this in mice in our own labs. Now, there's a lot of gene editing technologies out there from multiple companies, and we've been very fortunate to be working with each of them, with each of their unique chemistries, their unique ability to control these genes with utilizing our delivery technology. And not just our delivery technology, but the ability to formulate the two together. It's not just as simple as, sticking a pencil into a cup and stirring it around. This is how we bring these elements together to form these nanoparticles with the RNA inside is very sophisticated as well, and we have that technology too.
Arcturus Therapeutics in studio with us. Joe Payne is the president, CEO, and chairman. The projects that you have going right now, are there any that are nearing the trials phase that should be starting soon?
Yeah, I have to be careful in a public format.
Well, I know that. I know you can only talk about some things,
but,
right?
But we're getting closer. Like I mentioned, we've established proof of concept in many animal models, and also our manufacturing capabilities. Although it's not exciting to this group or the listener, it's very important from a business perspective to be able to make these type of drugs on scale, and we've shown that.
Will Arcturus make their own drugs someday?
Yeah.
Or will it always be in partnership, do you think?
No, we have, right now we have 4 wholly owned programs, and the remainder of the programs are partnered with J&J, Takeda, Ultragenyx, and the CF Foundation for the Cystic Fibrosis, which is also an exciting product.
That was a recent, you got $3 million, it looked like, in funding.
Yeah, very. That is an amazing drug in its own right. There's 1,700 different types of the cystic fibrosis. And
1,700 different types of
CF.
Cystic fibrosis.
And our approach can impact all 1,700.
So there's some common threads between them that you can attack or...
Yep, that's unique because we have the ability to use RNA to help these kids.
Thank you so much, Joe Payne, President, CEO, Chairman, Arcturus Therapeutics. Appreciate it.
No, thanks.
Keep
it's
up
great
the good
to be
work.
With you.
No, seriously, keep
time,
up the good
everyone.
Work. You've been listening to Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
You folks have a great and prosperous day. Bye-bye.